18. For the first time ever, Serena wasn't sure she could eat, wasn't sure why she had decided to even try. She felt strangely vulnerable here in the dining car, sitting by herself at a table. Everyone stared at her, or so it seemed. Someone had betrayed her. Someone had been feeding Bizamoth information from the day she arrived in Egypt, and now everything made sense. Bizamoth approaching her in the street, finding her in the catacombs, and at Philae, and at the regent's house. God, she wanted to throw up. She had tried to call Val once she calmed down, but he hadn't answered, so now she was stuck waiting, and she kept obsessively checking for a text message or voicemail while she waited for Josh to finish checking the train for demon activity. Thank God for him. How many times had he saved her life now? He'd given her so much in just a few short days. Friendship, protection, out-of-this-world orgasms. She just wished he'd hurry. She'd never been so nervous, had always been supremely confident, thanks to the charm. But suddenly she felt exposed, and the only safe harbor was in Josh's arms. The thought almost made her laugh. It sounded so cheesy. But it was true. Growing up, she had felt secure with her mother, despite the fact that for the first 7 years of her life, death nipped at her heels. Her mother had kept her close, always, and even after she had given up the charm to Serena, her protective, loving nature hadn't changed. Later, after her mother's death, Serena had been taken to the convent, where she had felt as if nothing could touch her. The charm had given her an even more enhanced sense of security. In a matter of days, a lifetime of security had been shattered. Where was Josh? She tucked her phone back into her pack and looked up to see him, finally, entering the dining car. Her heart pounded as he approached. He was so big, his presence so commanding that everyone stopped eating to stare. She knew from watching him for the past few days that if he looked at them, the men would avert their gazes. The women, however, admired him as though trying to decide what color bedsheets he'd look best tangled up in. Personally, Serena thought he'd looked great in the hotel ones, his tanned skin contrasting beautifully with the crisp white cotton. His gaze held hers as he approached, his sapphire eyes targeting her like a sniper's scope. Her breath left her lungs in a rush because right now, in this moment, for him, there was no other woman in the room. He wore jeans and a long-sleeved t-shirt that fit like a second skin and outlined every ropey muscle. His hair fell in a gorgeously messy curtain against his jaw and face, which seemed a little pale, his tattoo more prominent than before, and she wondered if he was feeling ill again. "Hey," he said, halting at the table. "Hey." She still couldn't drag her gaze away from his. The sensation was hypnotic, and she was perfectly happy to be in this blissful trance. "Are you okay?"
"Motion sickness."
As he bent and planted a tender kiss on the top of her head, she inhaled, taking in that scent that was uniquely his, an earthy, burgundy musk that made her body bloom. He sank into the chair across from her.
"Train makes me queasy."
He was lying. He'd been sick too often, and she knew more than she wanted to about serious illness. Still, she didn't think he'd appreciate her pressing the issue. But maybe later, after dinner. After they arrived in Alexandria. After they arrived back in the United States. Because by now, she had decided that she didn't want to let him go. He made her laugh. Made her feel safe and cared for. They both loved adventure, and they worked well together. She didn't know how a relationship with him could possibly work without actual sex, but for the first time in her life, trying truly felt right. Assuming he wanted the same thing.
"Are you okay?"
he asked. Not really, she admitted. The idea that someone could be betraying me like that. And to a demon. God, who could do that? And why? It makes me sick. Some odd emotion crossed his face, but then it was gone.
Yeah.
He took a drink of the water the waiter had left.
Did you get a hold of Val?
No.
Serena, is it possible that he's the one who...
No!
She lowered her voice.
Absolutely not. He's watched over me for years, and my mom before that. He's been more than our personal guardian. He's a family friend. Besides, why would he send me to another country to get attacked? It makes no sense.
Evil rarely does.
He's not evil.
Josh shrugged as if he wasn't convinced, and her temper rose a notch.
Your mother died under his care, didn't she?
I don't like what you're implying, she bit out, because it was ridiculous to think he'd been responsible for her mother's death in a car accident.
You don't know him. If you did, you'd see. I wouldn't have worked for him for so long if I had any doubts.
Okay.
Josh signaled the waiter and ordered 2 double whiskeys.
Is that all you do? Work? You ever do anything for yourself?
She recognized the manipulation for what it was, an attempt to calm her down, and she was grateful for it.
Not really, she said sharply, because she was still a little worked up. All the things I enjoy happen while I'm working. Looking for treasure, outsmarting traps, traveling. I love it.
What about you?
You mean, do I do things for myself?
When she nodded, his mouth tightened into a grim slash.
I've lived my entire life being a selfish asshole. It's always been about me. Only me.
I'm sure you're exaggerating. He snorted.
Trust me, Serena. Pretty much everything I've ever done has been because I thought it would benefit me. Why do you think I haven't gone to see my nephews yet? I'll have to see how they took Shade away from me.
He cursed.
See what a bastard I am? Jealous of 3 innocent babies.
It's understandable. You love your brothers. They're all you have. She totally got that, because Val was all she had, and sometimes she found herself secretly jealous that David had a connection with him that she didn't. He went darkly silent as the waiter arrived at their table to take their orders. You only ordered bread, she said when the waiter left.
The motion sickness, he muttered.
Are you sure that's all it is?
Yeah.
He squeezed her hand, his tone saying he was through talking about it. So she just ran her thumb back and forth over his knuckles, loving how her hand felt so small in his.
Oh, I almost forgot, she said as she reached into her backpack and fished out a toy.
Here. I got it in the hotel gift shop. 1 tawny brow cocked.
It's a top.
Smiling, she placed the colorful wooden plaything in his hand.
This is going to sound so stupid, but I just keep thinking about how you grew up and, well, I can't imagine that you had many toys, and I kind of wanted you to have one.
She continued in a rush. Buying the toy had seemed like a good idea at the time, but now the unreadable flat expression on Josh's face told her she might have made a huge mistake.
I'm sorry. I just thought maybe you should have something you didn't get as a child. It's dumb, I know.
You shouldn't have.
Josh's voice was a gruff whisper. Serena took his hand in hers again. It's just a stupid toy.
Whatever.
Red splotches colored his cheeks as if he was embarrassed to be pleased by a gift as small and silly as a child's plaything.
Thanks.
Maybe next time I'll step it up and get you a jack-in-the-box. He grimaced, and that fast the awkwardness vanished.
No thanks. Those things are creepy. I'll keep the top.
His words were nonchalant,
but the warmth in his gaze wrapped around her like a hug, and she wished she was sitting beside him instead of across from him so she could return the embrace.
Good.
I'd hate to have to call you an ass again.
A passenger walked by, and Josh went taut. A very subtle stiffening of his spine, but she got the feeling he was checking out everyone in the dining car.
Look, he said, all commanding business. I've been thinking on how we can keep you safe. My brothers are researching Bizamoth, and I'm going to escort you all the way home.
She smiled.
Thank you.
I appreciate the offer, and I'm not going to turn it down. Once I get back home, I'll have Val.
You'll also have me,
he said slowly, his voice a possessive drawl, and if she didn't know any better, she'd think he was jealous. She paused while the waiter delivered their food, and once he was gone, she asked,
What are you saying?
I'm saying that as long as you're in danger, I'm not leaving you unprotected. Either Bizamoth dies, or you have someone at your side.
He tore off a piece of bread.
Someone besides Val.
Val is a guardian. He's more than capable.
I don't trust him, not with everything that's gone down.
You've made that quite clear, but I do trust him.
All the more reason for me to stay with you.
Now we're back to you being an ass,
she snapped,
and he actually smiled. They ate in silence. When they were finished, he walked her to her room, and although she didn't invite him in, he barged in anyway. The door closed. Something her mouth should have done. But instead she asked,
I know it's crazy to ask this, but, well, where is this headed?
Us, I mean. Where are we going?
Where do you want it to go?
In a perfect world? When he nodded, she rubbed her belly as if that would calm the fluttering. We'd both go back to the States, and we'd see where we could take this thing between us.
He smiled, but it was a sad smile that did what her hand could not. Quell the butterflies. Killed them, actually.
I wish it were so simple.
It's the virginity thing, isn't it? In an instant, she was sandwiched between his body and the door, and his mouth was at her ear.
Let's be clear on this,
he growled.
You have no idea how badly I want to be inside you. Standing up, lying down, taking you from behind. All of it. Right now.
Oh, God. Her knees wobbled, but he wrapped an arm around her and held her steady.
Not being able to do any of that is killing me. Literally. But strangely enough, I like just being with you. Touching you however I can, whenever I can. So no. The virginity thing is not what will keep us apart.
Then what? He did something sinful with his tongue against the shell of her ear while rocking his massive erection into her belly.
I'm dying.
Dying to what? She reached down and brushed her hand over the bulge in his jeans because the last two times they had been together, she had taken from him, and this time she was giving.
Have me get down on my knees?
Yes, but...
His voice became strangled.
I mean, I'm dying. Cancer.
Her chest filled with ice. No.
She shook her head so hard her hair lashed her cheeks.
No.
He grasped her shoulders firmly but gently.
Serena, listen to me. I'll keep you safe. As long as I can.
You think I'm upset because I need you to keep me safe?
She stepped away from him, eyes stinging and her entire body trembling.
You ass!
His gaze fell to the floor. Now who's the ass?
Oh, Josh, I'm sorry.
Still shaking, she wrapped her arms around him.
Why didn't you tell me sooner?
She thought about the times he was sick, and now it all made sense. It made sense, too, why he'd wanted to hang out with her from the beginning. I decided to make a vacation out of this trip, one of those 101 things to do before you die.
It wasn't important.
When she stiffened, because she was going to lay into him again, he added quickly,
"Not at first. But now, I just don't want you seeing a future that's not going to happen."
Choking back a sob, she looked up at him. "You should have told me."
"Why? So you'd look at me with pity, like you're doing now? I shouldn't have told you at all."
"You can't tell me something like that and expect me not to react," she ground out. And she knew she shouldn't get angry, but damn it, this wasn't fair. They might not have had a shot at a normal life together, but now they didn't have a shot at any kind of life at all.
"Kiss me," he said. "Just kiss me and don't let this get in the way of the time we have left."
But he didn't give her time to kiss him. Instead, he dipped his head and kissed away her tears, his satin lips wiping away the traces of her pain. He was right. They shouldn't be wasting what little time they had together. But how were they supposed to move forward? She wanted to bawl, the kind of sobbing you never wanted anyone to witness because it was messy and loud and left you with red, swollen eyes for a day.
"Hey, you're not with me here."
His mouth found hers, and he kissed her so deeply she felt it to her soul. His tongue stroked hers, and his hand came up to her neck, kneading and caressing, making her forget. And how damned selfish was she to let him make her feel better? He was the one who needed to feel good, and here he was, putting aside the fact that he was dying, to comfort her. She was a seriously selfish bitch. "Josh," she murmured against his mouth. "You've been so generous with me. I want to give you something back." Though her hands shook, she drew them down his chest and abs. When she reached his jeans waistband, she plucked at the top button. He closed his fingers around her wrist.
"I can't."
"I know." She stroked the back of his hand until he loosened his grip. "But what if I kiss my way down? Slowly. Would you let me take you in my mouth?" He made a strangled noise and stood still, frozen, in fact, as she stripped him of his shirt. But when she kissed his left pec, lightly, gently, his head fell back and his hands grasped her shoulders. He held her as though he'd fall over if he let go, as though he didn't want to let go. She kissed her way lower, reveling in the taste of his skin, his masculine flavor, something she had never truly tasted before, not like this. She sank to her knees and used her tongue to trace his navel.
"Serena."
He tried to step back, but he was backed against the wall. Beneath the surface of his skin, he quivered.
"Shh."
She gripped his hips with firm but gentle pressure. "Please. Let me do this for you." She looked up at him, and her heart skipped a beat at the uncertainty in his eyes. For a long moment they remained still, until he nodded slowly. He didn't relax, though, tensed even harder as she unbuttoned his pants. At his sides, his hands clenched into fists, and though he rose full and thick from the opening in his jeans, she somehow felt like this was torture for him rather than pleasure. How odd that here she was, the virgin, and yet she was having to gentle him, to ease him into this most intimate of encounters. Her gaze dropped back down to that male part of him, and she couldn't contain a quick, appreciative noise of admiration. Oh, my! She'd seen and touched guys before, but none had been so beautiful. Tentatively, she dragged a finger down his shaft, following a pulsing vein that ran the dusky length to where the base flared wide. His entire body jerked, and she heard the click of his teeth as he snapped them together. Feeling a little breathless, she closed her fist around him and stroked, her palm moving slowly from tip to base and back.
"I like how you feel," she whispered,
and his moan drifted down to her, a soft sound of approval that flowed over her like syrup.
"You're like satin over marble."
She added her other hand now, using one to concentrate motion at the tip and the other to stroke the length of his shaft. He sucked air through his teeth, but as she worked him, he relaxed, began rolling his hips toward her, subtle thrusts into her hands. A milky bead formed at the tip. Mouth-watering, she leaned in, but his body went 2x4 stiff, so she dropped her head to kiss his inner thigh. Slowly, she worked her way up, still stroking, still holding him with the reverence he deserved.
"Serena,"
he rasped, his hands closing on her shoulders once more.
"This, I don't know."
Before he could protest further, she took him into her mouth. His entire body surged forward. She gripped his hips, holding him steady. He tasted rich and earthy, the dramatic, luxurious notes, much like fine black sea salt. Cupping his heavy sack, she licked the head of him, flicking her tongue back and forth over the little slit.
"Oh, man,"
he breathed. And then he held his breath when she took him so deep he scraped the back of her throat. His shaft was thick, hot, and it pulsed when she applied simultaneous suction and tongue action. His groans accompanied deep arches of his back as he began to get into it. And she wished she had done this sooner, could have given him more moments of pleasure to take him away from his tragic future. But no, she couldn't think on that. Not now. This was about him, and she wasn't going to be sad right this second. There was time for that later. Gently, she squeezed his sack, and he shouted with pleasure. Though she didn't have any experience with this, she knew instinctively to suck, to stroke, to lick. And she learned quickly where he was the most sensitive. His hands came down to pet her hair, his fingers tender, his touch firm. It struck her then that she'd felt guilty about taking pleasure from him and giving none back. But as she measured his responses, listened, touched, tasted, she realized that giving pleasure was as much a gift as taking.
19. Wraith's heart pounded so hard, he was pretty sure it was going to explode. Hell, he was going to explode. He had never allowed a female go down on him. Too intimate, too dangerous, especially when most of your sex partners had teeth like needles. But what Serena was doing was extraordinary. The warm, wet depths of her mouth took all of him, and though he knew she was unskilled, he couldn't imagine anything better than this. He could feel the care in her touch, could see it in the way she watched him for every reaction. The sight of her pink tongue slipping out to swirl around the head of his cock had him clenching his hands into fists. Serena did something amazing with her teeth, and he hissed with pleasure. His cock pulsed, dangerously close to release. His vision grew sharp and his fangs began to descend, and he knew his eyes had gone gold. Closing them, he kicked his head back against the wall and concentrated on the slow sweeps of her tongue back and forth on the sensitive ridge of his glands and on the twisting action she had added to each stroke of her fist from his balls to where her mouth capped the head. Oh, yeah, he was close. She moaned, a low purr that vibrated her lips and made him cry out. He pulled in a ragged breath and palmed the wall behind him, partly to keep himself upright and partly to keep from grabbing her head and thrusting as the last of his control slipped away. "Serena," he gasped. "Gods,
That feels good. Oh, yeah. Just like that. He panted, hips jerking so hard he couldn't control it anymore. I'm going to come. Fuck! His orgasm blasted through him, more powerful than any he'd ever experienced. It shot up his spine and blasted fireworks in his brain. Serena kept licking and sucking and dragging her thumb along the seam between his balls, adding layers to his climax and keeping it going in sharp, pulsing bursts. Gradually, he came back down to earth, his muscles twitching as they unlocked. He willed his fangs to retreat back into his gums, and as his vision and hearing came back online, he heard what sounded like panting. Oh, shit. Don't swallow, he barked, but it was too late. Serena was still on her knees, her fingers digging into his thighs, her eyes glazed over and her face flushed. The scent of lust billowed up like a cloud from her, slamming into him and revving his libido all over again. Josh, she whispered, throwing her head back in ecstasy as she ran her hands up and down his legs. What's happening? Shit, shit, shit. Seminous demon ejaculate was a powerful aphrodisiac. His brothers had talked endlessly about the effects, but he hadn't paid much attention. Now he wished he had. Serena dragged her hand down her chest, hissing a little when her thumb brushed one breast.
This is good. So good.
Someone must have slipped something in your drink at dinner. Just relax. Relax, great freaking idea, given how she was peeling out of her clothes and touching herself. In less time than it took to leap through a Harrogate, she was naked and rubbing against Wraith like a Trilla demon in heat, practically purring, and all the while nipping at the skin of his shoulders and neck. He had never let any female bite him. Ever. But when she took his flesh between her teeth, pain popped along his nerve endings, along with a rush of pleasure so intense he wished she'd bite harder, draw blood, take nourishment from him so she could thrive. Except she wasn't a vampire, and if she were, he sure as hell wouldn't be here with her.
Touch me, Josh, she said against his throat.
She laid her hand over his and pushed it between their bodies, between her legs.
There. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Man, he felt like a virgin himself, all nervous and freaked out, and he had no idea why. Jesus, you're wet, he rasped. His fingers delved into her cream, and that was all it took. She cried out, her body undulating wildly as she crested.
More,
she whispered, even before she'd come down, and he dragged his fingers up through her slit, barely skimming her swollen knot of nerves. Again she cried out, bucking and riding his hand over and over until he lost count of her orgasms. And then she was climbing him, so fast he barely had time to grab her butt to support her as she locked her legs around his waist.
Make love to me.
She pinched his earlobe between her teeth and rocked her sex against his.
I want to feel you inside me.
The slide of his shaft through her slick slit made him groan. Seminous demons could, technically, only release inside a female. But he could dip just the head of his penis inside her, being careful not to break her hymen, and then he could pull out and... What the fuck? The point of all of this was to break her damned hymen and take the fucking charm. Serena writhed against him, growling and nipping, irritated at not getting what her body wanted. The friction brought her off again, though, which eased her lust temporarily. Like, for a couple of seconds. But it was long enough for him to get her on her back on the bed. She wrapped her legs around him and arched her spine, tilting her hips so he damned near slipped inside her. Hold on, baby. Just hold on. Somehow he managed to shed his jeans, even with her clawing at him. When he mounted her once more, settling between her legs, she sighed and pulled him down on top of her.
You feel so good.
She brushed her lips across his.
so right.
He moved against her, loving how they fit together. What about the consequences? He couldn't believe he was asking that when he should just dive inside, but for some reason he wanted to know where her head was, that she was going to be at least a little okay with this later. As she lay dying, pain stabbed him like a stake through the heart, and it had nothing to do with the poison.
"Don't care,"
her moan rattled through him as she wrapped her hand around his cock and guided him to her entrance.
"All that matters is you, being with you."
She kissed him hard and deep. When she let him go, they were both panting, and the tip of his shaft was rubbing in her honey. One punch of his hips and he'd be home.
I think I love you.
Wraith groaned. It's the aphrodisiac talking, Serena.
Shh.
She pressed a finger to his lips.
Just make love to me. Do you want that?
Gods, yes, he murmured, because at this moment he had never wanted anything more, charm or no. This might hurt a little.
It's okay. I trust you.
He slipped his hand beneath her to tilt her hips. Instinct guided her, had her clamping her thighs around his hips even tighter. The head of him started to ease inside.
I think I love you.
Her words clanged around in his skull so hard it hurt. Sweat popped out on his brow.
I trust you.
Emotion clogged his throat and cut off his breath. Only Shade had ever really trusted him, and even then the trust had limits.
Please, Josh.
I trust you. Serena was flame against him, her body scorching him on the outside, her trust and love warming him on the inside, a place that had been a dark, cold cavern for as long as he could remember. She was beautiful inside and out, and she didn't deserve what he was about to do to her, not without a guarantee that she would survive afterward. His brothers would never forgive him, but he couldn't take her life. I can't, he panted, rearing back. No!
But...
I can't give you what you want, Serena. I'll never be able to. Not like that. Gods, he was a fool. A fool who had just signed 3 death warrants. I'll make you feel good, though. I promise you that. He kissed his way down her body and dove between her legs, used his mouth to punish her for making him burn like this. His punishment made her come, over and over, until she couldn't move, lay limp on the bed. Shaking with a combination of extreme arousal, exhaustion, and not a little fear, he crawled up beside her and pulled her into his arms until her breathing eased into sleep. He thanked his lucky stars he had shot up with the anti-libido drug before dinner. Because although he was experiencing some serious blue balls despite the earlier release, he wasn't in crippling pain. This would ease off eventually. He winced as he adjusted himself. Hopefully it would ease off soon. He didn't know how long they lay like that, her sleeping peacefully and him feeling the chill of death take hold. But when she began to stir, the sky outside the window had lightened. A muffled beeping came from his pants on the floor. He stifled a groan and dug his phone out of the pocket. No cure. The text on the screen from the demoness sat like a hot coal in his gut. There truly was no hope now. He lifted his other wrist, which felt way too heavy, checked his watch, and knew what he had to do. Carefully, he eased out of the tangle of their naked bodies and dressed. Every joint, every muscle screamed in agony, and he had a feeling that, this time, no amount of medication was going to help.
Hey,
she mumbled.
What are you doing?
He jammed his foot into a boot, and when he didn't answer, because he didn't know what to say, She sat up and brought her hand down on his shoulder. He jerked away. The train will be pulling into Cairo in half an hour. I'm getting off. Going home. She blinked, her groggy gaze unfocused.
I don't understand. Why?
We almost had sex.
No, we didn't.
She didn't remember. He wasn't sure if that was a blessing or not. Yeah, we did.
She rubbed her eyes. Even if we almost did, we didn't. So, why are you leaving?
A shudder racked his body as he exhaled. He bent to pick up the wooden top that had fallen to the floor. I'm leaving because I'm afraid that eventually we will, and I can't be responsible for killing you.
What?
She came to her feet, tugged the bedsheet to her chest as if that would hide anything. Her body, her curves, every freaking detail was imprinted on his brain.
You think I'm not strong enough to resist you? You think you have to play martyr and keep yourself away from me so I won't weaken in your presence and force you to have sex with me or something?
No, I'm not exactly the martyr type.
So, you just don't want to have sex with me?
He opened his mouth, but before he could deny that particular question, she slammed her palm into his chest. Hard.
Answer me!
She shouted. She was coming down from the effects of the aphrodisiac. He recognized the signs of a drug crash. Had lived them himself. I can't risk your life, Serena. I won't. And I'm not strong enough to promise that I can be near you and not want you.
Get out!
She was coming down hard, practically spitting fire and completely irrational. She pointed at the door.
Get out and go to hell!
That, he croaked, is only a matter of time. He opened the door and paused at the threshold. I'll make sure someone will get on in Cairo to take you the rest of the way home. He fled, steeling himself against her voice, calling out his name. He tore through so many cars he lost count, elbowing people aside until he reached the cargo car. Weak from the poison, shaken by what had just happened, and battling the intense desire to return to Serena, he collapsed onto a crate. An ache in his chest tugged at him, and he knew that if he gave in to it, it would take him straight back to Serena. Maybe he didn't have to leave. Maybe he could stay with her until the last possible minute, spending his final days, hours probably, with someone who gave him a reason to live. Right. Because she'd no doubt love to care for him as he lay dying. He wanted to stay with her. But for the first time in his life, he was going to do the right thing, not the selfish thing. He wouldn't make her watch him die. He'd go home, and she'd remember him as he was, not as some frail, failing shell. He glanced at his watch again. Half an hour. He'd call Taylor. Have her meet the train in Cairo and take care of Serena. Then he'd find a Harrogate and be back at the hospital before things got really bad. His brothers would take care of him, like they always had. If they forgave him for signing their death warrants, that is. 20. Serena sat in her compartment, wondering what had just happened. Josh had left her because she might have sex with him? Why would he think that? Last night, she had wanted to pleasure him as he had done to her, and then what? She blinked against the flood of fuzzy memories. Make love to me. Oh, God! She had said that. She had really said that. She had been all over him, begging him for sex. Humiliation made her skin crawl and her face burn. What had he said? That someone must have slipped a Mickey into her drink at dinner? Her clothes from last night lay scattered all over the tiny room, evidence of her lapse of control. Stomach turning over, she got dressed, cursed the wrinkles in her olive skirt and cream blouse. She looked like she had been pulled out of a suitcase. I want to feel you inside me.
Mortified, she groaned and sank down on the bed again. Everything came back to her, clear as crystal. She remembered how Josh had taken care of her, but hadn't taken advantage of her hyper-horny state. He could have, but he didn't. He wanted to save her life. And how had she thanked him? By going into a rage, yelling at a dying man when he said he was leaving. Leaving. Fear flickered in her chest. He had said he was dying, but she wouldn't lose a single minute with him. And maybe the Aegis could help. Maybe Val knew of some curative magic or artifacts. She could not lose him. Someone tapped at the door. Oh, please, please let it be Josh. She leaped up and whipped open the door. Josh! She cut off with a gasp. Leaping backward, she tried to slam the door shut, but Bizamoth, looking as he had the first time she had seen him, angelic and beautiful, blocked her effort, moving inside as sinuously as a snake. He closed the door behind him. She opened her mouth to scream, but he crushed her to the wall, his hard, muscular body against hers.
If you keep your mouth shut, I won't hurt you.
He dragged his tongue up her cheek and she shuddered.
Not much.
Terror turned her legs to jelly. He laughed, the sugary sound tangled with a thread of sinister darkness.
But I am going to rob you of both your charms.
His fist closed around her necklace and she almost smiled because that sucker wasn't going anywhere. Then, to her horror, it broke free of her neck and dangled from his hand. He slipped the necklace into his dishdasha and hiked up her skirt.
Now the other one.
He tore open his robes. His form morphed, and, like a shape-shifting sequence in a horror movie, he went from being beautiful to the hairless gray thing with a bat-like veiny wing she had seen at the Regent's place. Between his legs, his huge penis jutted obscenely upward, oozing a dark substance from the tip. Sweet Jesus, he was going to impale her with that hideous thing. Her blood congealed. Petrified, shaking, she tried to scream, but nothing came out. Not even her breath made it past the lump of terror in her throat.
What's the matter, love? Say something. Your fear arouses me.
He inhaled.
The scent of your fear is intoxicating, but even more so is the sound of your voice. The tremor. The pitch. Say something!
Fuck you!
She croaked.
That's something! He backhanded her so hard she saw stars.
Bitch! I'm going to fuck you until you're dead!
He smiled cruelly, trailed his fingers over her cheek.
You're afraid to die, aren't you? The smell of your terror is spiking, so arousing. Now, ask me why I'm doing this.
She didn't want to, but at this point, humoring him seemed like a better idea than mouthing off. Why are you doing this? He hit her again.
Don't ask me stupid questions.
Fury and pain overrode her fear. She was tired of being hit, and she wasn't going down without a fight. Snarling, she shoved him as hard as she could and kneed him between the legs. He didn't flinch, but he did slam his forearm into her throat, cutting off her breath.
That was stupid.
His voice cracked like a whip. She clawed at his arm and kicked at him as her lungs struggled for air. He dangled her necklace in front of her face.
Do you know what this is? What it does?
He let up on the pressure on her neck just enough for her to gulp air and shake her head.
Of course not, because that would be against the rules, and the rules must always be followed.
There was a note of sarcasm in his voice she didn't understand and wasn't sure she wanted to. Pretty much, she just wanted oxygen.
This is a key to the end of days. You, my dear, are also a key. And once I take your virginity, I will become the most powerful key of all.
He put his forehead to hers and looked into her eyes with his flat, soulless ones.
I look forward to ridding the human infestation upon this earth, starting with you.
Cairo, the triumphant city. A sprawling urban rat race that came alive, and in Wraith's opinion, looked best at night. As a hunting ground, Wraith had always found Cairo to be adequate, but for the most part he wasn't fond of it. The mix of modern and ancient, extreme wealth and extreme poverty, gave the city a mixed-up vibe, as if it couldn't settle on any particular mood. Its history fascinated him, though. And sometimes he wondered what life would have been like back in the days of the pharaohs.
Not life for humans, that would have sucked. But being a demon back then would have been sweet. They had been called gods. Maat, Ra, Osiris, Khepri, scores more, and had been worshipped as such.
Demons had long memories. Many were immortal or damn near so, and they wanted that power and worship again. If the shit going down in the underworld was any indication, it looked like things were looking up for those demons. As the train pulled out of Cairo Station, Wraith watched through a window, its reflection revealing that the sand in his hourglass glyph was down to the last grains. He wondered if he had made the right decision. Even though Taylor was an incredible warrior, especially when she tapped into her inner demon, she wasn't strong enough to protect Serena. On the other hand, he wasn't at his strongest either. Gods! Serena must think he was such an ass after he took off on her like that. She'd told him to go. But after watching Shade and Eidolon deal with their mates, he now understood that sometimes females wanted you to fight for them. Then again, sometimes they didn't. As he fingered the top Serena had given him, he realized he'd never understand the opposite sex. He came to his feet, knowing Serena wasn't going to be happy to see him again. Still, he was going to stick by her side until she was back in the States and he could get her someplace safe. Because Val wasn't an option. With a growl, he tore open the door to the cargo hold. Halfway to her cabin, a sense of wrongness slammed into him, hard enough to make him stumble. The hairs on the back of his neck stood at attention, acknowledging the familiar evil. Bizamoth! Wraith hit the first sleeping car door at a run, slammed one of the passengers out of the way, and went through the second door almost without opening it. The dark, oily sense of malevolence grew as he ran. He skidded to a stop, nearly overshooting her door. A black cloud of evil pulsed all around the doorway, and he slammed his shoulder into the thin door, caving it in with a crash and explosion of twisted metal.
Josh!
Serena's scream penetrated all the way to his heart. The sight of her, pinned beneath Bizamoth's hideously transformed body, sent him into kill mode. All his aches, pains, and nausea disappeared as a veil of crimson sliced down over his vision and thoughts. Wraith threw himself at Bizamoth, seized his leathery wing, and yanked him off of Serena. He slammed the angel into the narrow space between the door and the seat. A crack of bone accompanied Bizamoth's high-pitched yelp, and his wing drooped.
Summit!
Wraith popped him in the mouth. Lifting his knee, Wraith nailed the bastard in the junk. Very large, exaggerated junk. The knowledge that he'd planned to use that monstrous thing on Serena burned to ash what little remained of Wraith's control.
You're so dead!
He snarled and pulled Bizamoth's head down to meet his knee. Blood splashed on the floor, but not nearly enough. He threw the angel into the hall, slamming him into the door of another compartment. The screams of passengers who heard the commotion pierced the air. mixing with Serena's bellow of fury as she came at Bizamoth, drilling a quick double tap to his mouth, followed by a hard jab to his throat. Fierce admiration and pride lit Wraith up from the inside. Good girl. The angel lunged for her, but she swung her elbow into his gut as Wraith put the heel of his hand into Bizamoth's nose.
My necklace! Serena yelled. Get it!
Mine!
Bizamoth spun away, his grayish lips pulling back from sharp, yellowed teeth.
And so is she!
He spun with a lot more grace than he should have had, given that his wing was broken and the passage was so narrow. But in an instant, he was sprinting down the aisle. Wraith gave chase. At the end of the car, Bizamoth collided with a passenger. With a furious snarl, he hurled the male human at Wraith. They both went down in a heap.
Son of a bitch!
Wraith untangled himself from the human, who was whimpering, his dark skin turned ashen, his eyes haunted by what he had seen.
Welcome to my world, buddy!
Wraith jumped to his feet and tore off after Bizamoth, though the sense of evil had dissipated. He wasn't sure what powers the angel had, but he was pretty sure the bastard couldn't fly off with one wing, and a broken one at that. Ahead, he found a group of humans gathered around an open door on the side of the train, their excited chatter telling him all he needed to know. They had seen a guy leap from the train, though apparently Bizamoth had taken human form, because these people weren't nearly as freaked out as they should have been. But where had he gone? Wraith sped back to Serena, taking no special care to go around passengers. Their indignant curses followed him, but all that mattered was getting to Serena. The moment he blew through the twisted doorframe, she flew into his arms.
Thank God you're okay. Oh my God, thank you. Thank you.
She was babbling and sobbing, and only a colossal effort kept him from doing the same.
It's okay. He's gone.
My necklace.
Gone, too.
She cursed, the first really dirty word he had heard from her.
I'm sorry I left, he said into her hair. I should have been here.
She tore out of his arms and he lurched, had to catch himself on the wall. She had been holding him up, and a sense of dizziness nearly knocked him over.
Don't you dare be sorry. I'm the one who should be sorry. I had no right to get mad at you, or chase you away. God, I'm a fool.
She looked at him through watery eyes.
Josh, are you okay?
Pain tore through his gut, doubling him over.
No.
Are you hurt? Did he do something to you?
Need my room. He stumbled toward his cabin, doing his best to hold in the contents of a stomach. Though his room was next door, it felt as though it took about 6 months to get there. And when he did, he couldn't open the door. Instead, he sank to the floor, his muscles convulsing and his stomach heaving.
I'm going to see if there's a doctor on board,
Serena said.
No. Need meds. Inside.
Her soft curse made him smile, despite his misery. Second use of profanity in as many minutes.
Fine. But if it doesn't help...
He grabbed her wrist, and when she winced, he kicked himself for being such a brute and loosened his hold.
No. Doctors. Promise.
I don't like it. But I promise.
She opened the door. Gathering what remained of his strength, he dragged himself inside and crawled up on the bed.
Soft. Cool. Fuck. He was going to die here, wasn't he?
You're not going to die,
Serena said. And he realized he must have been talking out loud.
Now, what meds do you need? Where are they?
Bag. Under bed.
He heard her rummaging around. But then all sounds faded, and the world went black.
21. Serena tried to control her fear
as she pulled medicine bottles and some ketchup-sized packets filled with a dark red substance from Josh's bag. But panic had taken root and was growing into something unmanageable. He had said he was dying, but she had assumed he had time. This was looking bad. A river of tears streamed down her face. She hadn't cried, truly cried, in years. There had been way too much of that when she had been sick, and then even more when her mom had died. But this, God, so much had happened since she had met Josh, both good and bad. On top of losing the necklace, how could she deal with losing Josh, too? Her hand shook as she gathered the bottles and one of the packets of red liquid. Josh lay facing her, his breathing labored, sweat beating on his brow. Josh, she smoothed her hand over his cheek. Josh, can you hear me? No response. She patted his cheek, gently at first, and then with more urgency. Josh! Her relief was cut short as he began to convulse, his eyes rolling back in his head. Helplessness made her tears fall faster, and by the time he had settled down, she was sobbing. Josh, I have your medicine. His head lulled forward, and he groaned.
The packet. Pills.
Same time?
Mm-hmm.
She took one pill from each of the two bottles, tore open a packet, and placed the pills in his mouth. With one hand, she held his head up, and with the other, she tipped the liquid into his mouth. He swallowed. When he finished, she covered him with a blanket. His hand caught hers, weakly.
Dying. But thank you.
You're going to be okay, she whispered. Just fight, all right?
He sucked in a rattling breath, the sound sending a shudder through her. Helplessly, she sank down on the floor, her back against the bed, and reached for her necklace out of habit, only to find that it wasn't there.
This was bad, so bad. She needed to call Val. He could help Josh. She knew he could. She dug into her skirt pocket for her phone. No signal. Damn it.
Someone tapped on the door and she jumped, her pulse kicking into high gear.
Security, open up!
She pushed to her feet and confronted the two Egyptian men standing in the hall. One was inspecting her destroyed door.
Ma'am,
the other said, gesturing to the room next to Josh's.
This is your room?
Yes, someone broke in.
Some passengers are reporting that it was a monster?
She smiled, hoped they didn't notice her mouth trembling.
He was just a man.
The men took her statement. She explained that someone had tried to rob her and then escaped. And when she was finished, they left her alone to question witnesses. She closed the door and returned to Josh, wondering when, not if, Bizamoth would return. He wasn't done with her. He'd come back for her, wouldn't stop until he'd taken her virginity. She shuddered, imagining the horror. Armed with her charm, he said he'd bring about the end of days.
I'm sorry, Mom, she murmured.
Her mother had trusted Serena to keep the necklace safe, and Serena had failed. Somehow she had to get that necklace back. But she was defenseless against Bizamoth, and coming face to face with him again would be akin to offering her virginity up on a platter. Again, the vision of the fallen angel attacking her, tearing her clothes away, assaulted her brain. She'd never forget his disgusting words, nor the smell of brimstone and feces on his breath. Josh had saved her this time, had somehow been skilled and dangerous enough to take on Bizamoth and come out victorious. But he was dying, and he wouldn't have the strength to protect her again. Bizamoth was going to take her virginity and carry through with his diabolical plan. Unless she could get the necklace back, unless someone could get the necklace back, someone like Josh. She closed her eyes, knowing what had to be done.
Serena's hands felt so good on him, like nothing Wraith had ever felt before. They worshipped him, kneading his flesh and sizzling his skin as they glided down his stomach. Her lips tickled his chest, and tiny licks of her tongue made him hiss with pleasure. Lower. Oh, yeah. That's it. He kept his hands at his sides and let her play. Let her unbutton his jeans and release his swollen cock. He thought she'd take him into her mouth. But instead, she straddled him. Her wet heat surrounded him as she began to move, rubbing his shaft between her slick folds. Damn, this was a great dream. He'd been dying to make love to her, and here, in his sleep, he could. He nearly groaned when she angled her hips to guide the head of his penis to her entrance.
I love you, Josh.
Josh. Even in his dreams, she couldn't call him by his name. He fisted the sheets, let the vibration of the train lull him when all he wanted to do was punch his hips upward and take her. Train. Train. Josh. Not a dream. His eyes shot open and, oh, holy hell, Serena was braced above him, poised to take him. No! Frantically, he grabbed her waist, but he was too weak to stop her. She sank down, burying his shaft deep. Her barrier broke, and she cried out before stifling the sound with her fist jammed in her mouth. Instantly, a strange, wonderful energy permeated his body, coursing through his veins and kicking his heart into overdrive. The weakness that had been dragging him down was replaced by power and strength that howled through him in a mighty roar. Oh, babe, he breathed. Oh, fuck, what have you done? She had to know she had started a countdown to her death.
I couldn't let you die.
She looked down at him, her gaze warm and liquid. She smiled and then winced as she shifted.
I know you said you can't give me what I want, but you already have.
He wanted to argue, to rail against what she said, what she believed, but he couldn't. His feelings for her went too deep. I shouldn't have told you.
Don't.
She dug her nails into his chest. The pleasure pain was exquisite.
I've been waiting too long for this to ruin it with regrets.
He didn't think he could feel anything but regret until she dragged the backs of her fingers up his pecs and brushed them over his nipples. Back arched, she rolled her hips in a fluid surge. He pulsed inside her, his desire growing more encompassing by the second. There would be an eternity for regrets. Right now, he needed to make sure this first time would be something special for her. For them both. He palmed the back of her head and pulled her down until her lips met his. Kissing her was the greatest pleasure he had ever known. Her lips parted, and he slipped his tongue between them to meet hers. He hated that he had to be careful, to ensure she wouldn't get too up close and personal with his canines. But right now, careful was a good thing. This was her first time, and he wasn't going to behave like an animal. Still, no matter how civilized he tried to be, some instincts couldn't be overridden. He cocked one leg up and gripped her hips, holding her as his thrusts grew faster, harder. He needed to go deeper, to go so far inside that he'd never come out again. But her whimper made him freeze. She still hurt. Gods, he was a brutal asshole. I'm sorry. He kissed her tears away. You just feel so good. Her fingers stroked his neck, right over his jugular, and he had a crazy desire to ask her to bite him there.
It's okay. I knew it would hurt.
She winced.
But maybe not as much as it does.
I want to make it better, Lersha.
Lersha?
Shit. Well, he couldn't very well explain that it loosely translated to lover in Seminus speak, and to hell with it, he didn't want to explain at all. Shh, He lifted her off him, the silky friction as his cock dragged through her wet channel, nearly making him come. Trust me. She bit her lip, her expression softening, and she nodded. Wriggling down her body, he urged her up at the same time until his mouth met her core. The bed was short, and his legs were crammed up against the wall. But he was exactly where he wanted to be. Serena moaned as he kissed her deeply, rolling her swollen butt between his lips. Hungrily, he ran his tongue up her center in a gentle, wet stroke. When he pushed inside her with a healing swipe of his tongue, she cried out in a sharp release, coming so hard he had to steady her with a firm grip on her thighs. When it was over, she went limp, and he easily tucked her beneath him. "Are you okay?" "Oh, yes," she murmured. Her voice was a husky trill. "Wow. It's only going to get better." Excitement sparked in her eyes.
"Really?"
"Yeah, really." He shifted so her hips were cradling his, and his cock was poised at her entrance. Bracing himself on his elbows, he kissed her until they were both breathless and rocking wildly against each other. Her undulating, grinding motion had him sucking air, and when she lifted her legs around his waist, he couldn't wait any longer. He tried to be gentle, but he was so worked up, and she was so wet. He entered her in one smooth stroke. "You okay?" he asked, though it would be a wonder if she understood him the way the words had come out on a groan of ecstasy.
"Stop asking me that."
She tightened her thighs around him and arched up.
"Keep going, please."
She pumped her hips and locked her arms around his neck for leverage, and damn, he was just going to have to hang on for the ride. He couldn't believe he was doing this with a human, with a virgin, with someone he cared about. But he didn't want to think about all of that. He wanted to give her a first time she'd remember forever. Except she didn't have forever anymore. A nasty snarl came out of his mouth. He didn't care that her disease had no cure. There had to be another way. He would save her. He would. And then she would be his.
"Mine!" "Yours,"
she agreed, tugging his head down to her throat.
"Kiss me there, like in the dream."
The vampire dream. The idea of biting her made him so hot, he surged inside her as his fangs shot out of his gums. Willing his fangs to retreat, he latched onto her neck with his lips and sucked, knowing he was going to leave a mark and not caring. He wanted to mark her in every way he could. He also wanted to be gentle, but she drove him to amazing heights that destroyed his self-control, and suddenly he was sweating and pumping and growling, his release building like trapped steam. She scored his shoulders with her nails and cried out, but he recognized the sound. Pleasure, not pain. Her tight sheath clenched around him, dragging him deeper, her hips thrusting upward to create a wild, violent tempo that must have rocked the train. Ripples of pleasure hummed through his balls, up his shaft, as his cum heated and gathered until he couldn't take it anymore. He came in a blinding, white-hot tide that crashed over him once, twice, oh fuck, his third orgasm roared through him. Satin walls milked him as Serena matched him climax for climax. He was used to multiple orgasms. It rocked to be an incubus. But he knew they were a rarity for the females of most species. The guaranteed ability to climax over and over with a seminous demon was the draw for many females, and as he came down from his fifth, he settled in to watch Serena have a couple more. Panting, he eased to the side to keep from squishing her. But he held her close, turning her into him so he was still inside her. Could still feel the clench of her inner walls as she came again. Her head fell back, her eyes closed, and she let out little gasps of pleasure.
"Josh! Oh! Ah! Yes!"
She convulsed, and he dropped his hands to her butt to press her closer. Normally, he immediately pulled out and away, left the female to writhe in pleasure while he made his escape. But this was Serena. They had talked about the rush, the burn of the hunts they enjoyed, but he had never felt those things with any female. Any female but Serena. Sex with her was the ultimate rush, the ultimate burn, and he was going to be here to enjoy every single moan, gasp, and shudder. Wraith. His voice was a guttural whisper against her ear. Call me Wraith when you come.
Now,
she moaned.
I'm coming now, Wraith.
He fucking came again when he heard her call out his name in her release. Afterward, they collapsed together. Their skin slick with perspiration, their lungs sucking oxygen like there wasn't enough on the train.
Thank you,
she said, taking a ragged breath.
God, thank you.
She was thanking him? She'd given him a miracle. Had sacrificed her own life to give him something he didn't deserve. So no, he didn't deserve thanks. And he wasn't sure he should thank her, either. Because Serena had saved his life. But in a way, she had killed him a little too.
22. Eidolon experienced a strange mix of relief and anxiety as he hung up the phone after speaking with Wraith. Shade sat across from him in E's office, jaw working overtime on a piece of gum, waiting for the news. Wraith had retrieved the charm, which explained why Eidolon suddenly felt like running a marathon. But it sounded like his brother had fallen for the human, and that was only going to end in disaster. Especially because he had all but ordered E to find a way to save her at all costs, and nothing Eidolon said could convince Wraith otherwise. Shade, he got the charm, but it's not all good news. Reaver walked, or more accurately, stumbled through the door. The angel's hair, normally blindingly shiny and perfect, was tangled and dull, falling around sunken bloodshot eyes. His hands were black with dried blood, his skin so white his veins beneath it read like a road map of misery.
What the fuck?
Shade asked, coming to his feet as if to catch Reaver.
Forget me, Reaver croaked. Serena, need to protect her.
Oh, now you're ready to help? E asked, and Reaver bowed his head in a nod. Good. What's special about the necklace?
There are things I can't say.
Reaver met E's gaze, his cracked lips set in a stubborn line. Damn it, Reaver, it's been stolen, and it sounds like it's a pretty damned big deal. The very last drop of color drained from Reaver's face. He began to sway, and Eidolon shot to his feet to catch the angel before he keeled over. Fortunately, Reaver caught himself on the wall. Good. Eidolon hated to admit it, even to himself, but the idea of touching someone of divine origins gave him the willies.
It can't be, Reaver said. What you're saying is impossible.
I'm telling you it's not. I need to know about the necklace right now. Reaver's pale blue eyes were diamond sharp, but haunted when he locked them with Eidolon's.
The pendant,
he said, in a clipped voice that made every syllable vibrate,
is Armageddon on a chain.
Shade stopped chewing his gum.
Come again? The amulet, it's a piece of heaven.
Heaven? Literally?
Yes.
E exchanged looks with Shade because this was big. Beyond big. Reaver? We need to know more. Reaver raked his fingers through his hair. Eidolon gave the angel a minute to compose himself because he still looked like he was on the verge of coming out of his skin. Finally, Reaver stopped messing with his mane but started pacing, slowly and with a limp, but pacing.
In the Daemonica, there is mention of a celestial lock and key.
He nodded, because he knew the passage in the Demon Bible, but it was vague. Demon scholars had been trying to decipher it for centuries. Go on.
It is said, Reaver continued, that when Satan was booted from heaven, he took a piece of it with him in hopes that it would allow him to return some day. He kept it hidden, and then, during a skirmish battle between good and evil, the angel Ezekiel took it back. But thousands of years of corruption had altered it. It could not be allowed back in heaven for fear of taint, but neither could it be left on earth for demons to use as a way to open the celestial gate between heaven and hell. So it was decided that it should be put into the keeping of humans, since ultimately the power struggle between good and evil has always been about mankind. Should they fail to safeguard it, their downfall will be their own doing.
Eidolon had a bad feeling about this, especially with Wraith landing smack in the middle of a conflict between good and evil. So it's been left in the keeping of a human who has been charmed?
Yes, many humans. Serena was the most recent. Theoretically, it should always be safe.
Reaver shook his head.
I don't think even another marked sentinel could bypass the charm. Sentinels have come up against each other in battle, and their charms made them both untouchable even to each other.
It wasn't another charmed human who took it, Eidolon said. It was a fallen angel, name of Bizamoth.
Bizamoth?
A concussion wave shattered the windows in the office area, and the hospital shook with such force that Eidolon wondered if humans would register the rumbling on their Richter scale. Shade moved toward the angel.
Hey, man, check up. We kinda like having a roof over our heads, one that isn't crumbling.
It's a little late for that, Eidolon muttered. But now that Wraith was no longer dying, the hospital should get back to normal. Too bad the lack of staff couldn't be so easily fixed.
Bizamoth!
Reaver's eyes flashed blue fire.
Is Wraith sure?
That's what he said. Why? Who is this guy? Reaver shoved a chair aside so hard it flew into the wall and impaled itself in the plaster. Eidolon had never seen him so riled. Hell, he'd rarely seen him even mildly annoyed.
He was an angel of destruction, now a demon of destruction. He fell during the first war in heaven. If he has the necklace and the charm...
He doesn't. Wraith has the charm. Reaver barked out a bitter laugh.
It's a sad day when I'm relieved that Wraith is the one who took the charm.
Shade scrubbed his hand over his face.
Okay, so what does Bizamoth want with this stuff? If he's a fallen angel, he doesn't need an invincibility charm.
No, but he needs the blood of a charmed one to work the amulet and open the gate between heaven and hell. If he had possession of the necklace and the charm, he could use his own blood at his convenience, since he's not charmed. He needs the blood of the sentinel who guarded the amulet.
But Serena is no longer charmed.
Exactly. So once he knows that, he'll need the blood of the one she passed it to.
Reaver finally stopped pacing.
The good news is that if anyone can take care of himself, it's Wraith.
And obviously the charm won't work against Bizamoth. Reaver nodded.
I don't think anyone anticipated the loophole.
That loophole being that an angel could bypass the charm, even a fallen one.
Obviously.
So what exactly will Bizamoth do with the amulet?
He'll open heaven to the forces of evil. Demons will swarm inside.
Reaver wobbled as he sank down on an office chair.
Humans have always been focused on the apocalypse. They see it as the end of days, but for believers it's not such a bad thing. They know that after the battle of good and evil, the righteous will go to heaven.
Reaver's voice went as thin as the air in the darkest reaches of Sheol.
Humans think the apocalypse will be the battle of battles. Hell on earth.
But with that pendant, Baizamoth will open the gate between heaven and Sheol, and the resulting battle will take place on many realms, on an unimaginable scale.
Heaven could cease to exist. Souls will default to Satan,
and humans would be trapped in a hell so terrible it can't be conceived of.
Reaver's eyes grew haunted.
Boys, this is much bigger than an apocalypse. This is the end of existence for all but the victor.
Shade, Eidolon, and Reaver spent the next hour arguing about what to do. But it always came back to Wraith.
He needs to get that necklace, Shade said, as he popped the top of the fresca he had fetched from the break room.
He had also called Runa to let her know he was running late. She had sounded as exhausted as he was, but with four babies at home, it was no wonder.
No!
Reaver slammed his fist on Eidolon's desk.
If Wraith defeats Baizamoth and gets the talisman, that leaves Wraith in possession of the most powerful artifact in the universe. I don't think any of us wants that. The Aegis must retrieve it.
Shade snorted.
Those bunch of ignorant...
Eidolon beamed him in the shoulder with a stapler.
You're talking about my mate, you know. And like it or not, they are the human guardians of the earthly realm, Reaver said.
Eidolon looked up from his computer where he had been researching biblical and demonic prophecies.
Whatever happens, it needs to happen fast.
Talus said that within the last 12 hours, demons have come above ground and taken over 3 holy sites in Israel. The local Aegi have their hands full. Coincides with Baizamoth taking the necklace.
Hell's fires, Shade muttered. Leave it to Wraith to start Armageddon. Shade thought about his sons, so small and helpless, and about Runa, who he loved so much at hurt. He couldn't bear the thought that they could be caught up in this war.
This is far worse than Armageddon, Reaver added, as if Shade needed the reminder.
Why now? Eidolon asked. This Baizamoth asshole is obviously old, so why didn't he grab the necklace and charm centuries ago?
Fallen angels can't sense marked sentinels.
Reaver shook his head.
I don't know how he could have found her.
Eidolon tapped his fingers on his desk, and just as Shade was about to break his fingers, he froze mid-tap.
Wraith said Baizamoth only has one wing. Has that always been the case?
Not that I know of.
Shade frowned.
What are you getting at?
Rogue's dungeon.
Runa ripped off the wing of a fallen angel.
I wondered why Rogue would have a fallen angel working for him.
Reaver snorted. He wouldn't. No angel would serve a demon.
Exactly. But what if he was there to get something from Rogue?
Eth's eye,
Shade said on a long, drawn-out breath. Reaver stilled.
What about it?
Rogue stole it from my collection when he took the Mordlair necrotoxin, Eidolon said, going back to the tapping.
You were in possession of Eth's eye?
Yes, E said. But it was impossible for us to use.
That's because only angels can use it for the purposes of scrying. If Baizamoth had it, he could have used it to locate the amulet.
Reaver cursed.
Which explains why I felt her cloak shatter, a side effect of being discovered. We need to involve the Aegis.
Reaver repeated, like a damned broken record. I agree. Eidolon stood and walked around his desk. Taylor and Kynan are going to have to tell the sigil what's going on. All of it. This is too big for us alone, and they're trained to hunt down beings like fallen angels.
He turned to Reaver. When will he try to open the gate?
The second dawn, after the sentinel's blood is shed.
If he doesn't use the blood then, he'll have missed his opportunity. If he'd gotten Serena's charm himself, he'd have more control of the timing. Now, he's at the mercy of finding Wraith and bleeding him.
Where will Bizamoth take the amulet and the blood? Eidolon asked.
Jerusalem. The Temple Mount. But he'll need to get the blood first.
Where is Wraith?
Egypt. Get him home, Reavers said. We can protect him in the hospital.
That'll work. Eidolon didn't sound too confident, though, probably because getting Wraith to sit still and do nothing would be like trying to chain a phantom. In the meantime, Tayla can contact the Sigil and Aegis cells within striking distance of Jerusalem. Kynan can deal with the RXR. Let them know what's up and get them ready for a battle.
She cursed. Demon and human prophets had been saying for centuries that the end was near, and finally, it seemed as though they were right.
23. Serena dreaded this call, but now that she had a signal, she had to make it.
Serena?
Val sounded as worried as she'd ever heard him, and she answered quickly.
It's me, Val. Everything's fine.
If fine included losing her necklace, her virginity, and her charm in a matter of hours.
Thank God.
She heard the squeak of leather, knew he had just sank into a chair.
Where are you?
The train will be pulling into Alexandria in 15 minutes.
And you'll be heading home immediately?
Her heart started pounding.
Not exactly. There's a problem.
The chair squeaked again.
What?
She didn't answer, and his voice dropped to a low, dangerous whisper. She had seen him truly angry only once, and it was something she never wanted to experience again.
What happened?
It's Bizamoth.
The demon?
She swallowed dryly. He's more than a demon. He's a fallen angel.
Tell me everything, and tell me now.
He was using his don't argue with me or else voice, and she knew better than to push. She started at the beginning and ended with, he killed the regent and he attacked me.
Did he get the necklace?
Yes.
And the charm?
It's gone too.
His harsh curse was followed by a long, ragged breath. When he spoke, his words were broken, distorted.
I should have known. There have been demon attacks all over the globe.
The sound of his breathing joined the frantic click of his fingers on computer keys.
Are you okay?
Josh is taking care of me.
Not well enough. Where was he when Bizamoth was attacking you?
He fought him, Val. Things could have turned out a lot worse than they did.
Val muttered something she couldn't hear.
When you get off the train, head straight to an address I'm having David text to you. He'll include instructions to get in. Wait until I arrive.
Will do. Where are you?
I'm still in Berlin. It's a zoo here. Hold on.
She heard commotion in the background, a lot of voices, some raised. David was shouting. The names Tayla and Kynan came with some curses, and then finally, Val was back on the phone.
Serena!
His guttural rasp told her she was in trouble.
Bizamoth has the necklace, yes? But does he have the charm?
Oh, God.
Serena!
No, she whispered. Josh has it.
There was a curse, and then a tense moment of silence before he said,
as furious as I am with you, this might actually be good news. Look, I need to go. There's some sort of emergency meeting going on, and it seems to have something to do with you. I'll call as soon as I can. Just get to the address I send you. The Aegis will have people there as soon as possible.
They aren't there now?
All cells within the region have been sent to Israel. It'll take time to get help to you. In the meantime, stay alert.
Okay.
Val cursed again, long and hard. Finally, she heard the chair squeak again,
heard his forceful exhale, knew he was stroking his tidy beard.
How are you feeling?
Fine. Right now. She was a little nauseous, but there was no point in worrying Val even more than he already was. How long do you think before, you know?
I don't...
His voice hitched.
I'm not sure. The disease should progress rapidly now.
Bottom line? He drew in a ragged breath.
I'd say you're down to days. Maybe hours. Wraith was not on board with this plan. When Serena said they were going somewhere Val had told her to go, every one of his warning bells had rung, and now as they drew closer to the place on the outskirts of Alexandria's Greek quarter, the clanging in his head could have been coming from Hell's marching band. They were on foot, having gotten out of the taxi several blocks back. He'd wanted to approach from the rear, come in as inconspicuously as possible, in case they were being watched. Bizamoth still wanted her, couldn't know that Wraith already had her charm. Mine, and so is she.
Man, every time he thought about what could have happened, what the fallen angel still wanted, it made Wraith's killer instinct shove its way to the front of the line ahead of the rest of his baser instincts. Weird, because usually nothing got ahead of sex.
And he definitely wanted to know who was tipping off Bizamoth about Serena's location. Wraith was going to gut the bastard and strangle him with his own intestines. They were nearly there when Serena began to wheeze badly enough for Wraith to step off the sidewalk and draw her into the shade of a lush palm. Pink splotches colored her cheeks, and shadows had tinted the crescents beneath her eyes. But still, she smiled.
Do you need to rest?
It's the dust in the air. It's nothing. Her lie irked him. He wanted her to be able to lean on him, accept his help, and he needed to get her somewhere safe, where they were less exposed, and she could rest. They arrived at a nondescript house set between other, equally nondescript houses, but right away it became clear that there was nothing average about this place. No one who wasn't military special forces, a thief or wraith, would notice the well-concealed alarm tripwire that had been set into the door and window frames. The extra-thick walls that Wraith would bet had been reinforced. The flame-retardant coating that had been sprayed on the walls and roof. Or the decorative slits that had been cut into the plaster below the roof overhang and that were the perfect size to cradle the barrel of a rifle. When he crouched next to an ornamental rock at one corner of the property line, he noticed tiny protective symbols carved into it.
I don't like this, he said as he straightened to his full height. Something's off.
Val wouldn't send me someplace unsafe.
It definitely wasn't unsafe. Too safe was more like it.
Serena wheezed again, and he set aside his paranoia. Nothing was too safe for Serena. Still, he kept a watchful eye on their surroundings, taking note of the vehicles, the houses, even the fucking birds, as he spoke.
You're sick. We need to get you inside.
My throat is dry. That's all.
Wraith swung around, stared at her through the amber filter of his sunglasses. Don't BS me. We've been through too much.
Enough that he wanted to bundle her up and take her to UG where he knew he could keep her safe. From Bizamoth, at least. Her illness was a beast he didn't know how to fight.
I know.
She hugged herself, shifted her weight. He hated that he had made her uncomfortable. But the time for making love and pretending she hadn't committed suicide was over. He was a fighter, and he was in kill-the-threat mode. Especially since the threat was now to Serena. He eyed the building. What did he say about this house? She pulled back a decorative shutter. Behind the wooden flap was a metal box mounted on the side of the building. She pushed some numbers on the keypad and retrieved a key.
He said it's warded against vampires.
Vampires?
He hoped she didn't notice the way he had choked. Her hand fluttered to her throat, dropped again. I asked him why the house wasn't warded against demons, too, and he said that spells to repel vampires are narrow in scope and long-lasting. But with demons, it's different. Unless you ward against specific species of demons,
you'd need a very general anti-evil spell, and those don't last long. She nodded.
Exactly.
She stepped inside, but he hung back, unsure how the anti-vampire spell would affect him. He wasn't a true vampire, but he didn't want to take chances. The ward might work only on the undead, which would be smart, given that they were sitting in the middle of mummy land, or it could be some tweaked version that worked against any blood-drinking creature.
You coming in?
He cocked an eyebrow. That an invite?
You a vampire?
Yep.
Good.
Her sultry tone hit him in the groin.
Come on in.
Your vampire fetish is going to get you bitten someday, he warned, only half playing because he really, really wanted to be the one biting her.
I can only hope.
She opened the door wider. You're hopeless. He didn't need invites to get into houses, but if the place was warded, an invite couldn't hurt. I'm going to do a perimeter check first, he said. Can't be too careful. That, and he wanted to see what other security tricks had been built into this house.
I'll see what kinds of supplies we have here. We're probably going to need to go shopping.
She stood in the doorway, her hair blowing in the breeze and glinting in the sun. And he wanted her. Right then. Right there. He shot to her like he'd come out of a cannon. Her soft sound of surprise was muffled by his mouth, easing into a contented sigh as she melted against him. Now wasn't the time or place to do everything he wanted to do, but he made his message clear. He would take her 10 ways from Sunday when she was cured, because he refused to believe it wouldn't happen. And then he'd find a way to make her his. Humans couldn't bond with summonous demons, but there had to be a way. Somehow, it could happen. Right. As soon as she forgave him for lying to her, seducing her, oh, and being a demon. Shit. He was living in fantasy land. All he needed now were mouse ears and fairy fucking dust. Cursing silently, he broke away from her and made the circuit around the house. Nothing was out of place, but he discovered more subtle signs that told him this house was more than what it seemed. The entire property line had been carved out with a very narrow, shallow ditch, almost invisible to anyone not looking for it. This would be where someone might put out a protective circle of salt, ash, holy water, any substance meant to guard against evil. His inspection turned up several more curious features, including a number of tiny silver stakes in the ground, set out in the shape of a giant pentagram that spanned the entire property. He headed for the front door, pausing at the threshold. He heard Serena coughing somewhere in the house, but she was nowhere she'd see if the ward worked on him. Taking a deep breath, he stepped through the doorway. Nothing happened. Cool. He wondered if the ward should have affected him, or if the charm was doing its thing. Serena was drinking a glass of water in the kitchen, so he poked around the other rooms. In one of the back rooms, he found a wooden chest. When he opened it, his blood ran cold. It was full of weapons. Swords, stakes, bottles of holy water, ropes, blades, and stangs. The double-ended blades of the stangs were each coated in a different metal to kill different types of demons. These were Aegis weapons. Suspicion confirmed. Wraith had walked right into the middle of a fucking Aegis stronghold. He slammed the lid shut and stalked into the kitchen where Serena had set 2 colas out on the small dining table.
I found drinks and canned goods, some pasta.
He slapped his hands down on the counter on either side of her, hard enough to make her jump. When is the rest of the crew showing up? Caged in, she looked up at him in surprise.
Crew? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you do.
She ducked beneath his arms and jammed her hands on her hips. I don't like your tone.
I don't like being lied to.
And I still don't know what you're talking about, she shot back. He believed her, but by now his nerves were frayed and he was juiced. He was a freaking demon standing in the middle of Demon Slayer Central.
I thought only Val was coming,
which was going to be a difficult situation as it was. He'd have to get into the guy's head again and do some creative memory reconstruction when it came to the real Josh.
Well, gee, I'm so sorry I forgot to mention we'd be joined by people who can help us. Why does it matter?
She put her palm on his forehead.
Are you okay?
You're acting strange.
Oh, hell. He was making her suspicious by flying off the handle like this. I'm fine.
You owe me more than that, Josh. We've shared too much for you to shut down now, she said, throwing his words from earlier right back at him.
Fuck, she was right, and it only pissed him off, mainly because his lies were sitting on him like a 2-ton lava beast, and guilt was practically leaking out of him. Maybe he should tell her the truth. If she knew what he was, what? She'd only hate him sooner. Gods, this was fucked up.
He didn't answer her because his tongue felt glued to the roof of his mouth, and eventually she rubbed her temples and shook her head.
Serena, what's wrong?
Headache, she muttered. I need to lie down. Do you mind?
Yes, he minded. He minded so much his heart was ripping in half, because somehow he knew that once she was down, she wasn't getting back up.
Serena had just put on a tank top and shorts and was looking at the bed like a lover when her cell phone rang. Feeling unreasonably weak, she dug it out of her backpack and flipped it open. Val?
Where are you?
He barked. She sighed. Hello to you, too.
Where are you?
A sudden spike of dread made her legs wobble, and she sank onto the bed. I'm at the house you sent us to. Why?
Us. So you aren't alone.
Josh is with me. There was a moment of tense silence, broken by the sound of someone near him whispering. David.
Serena, listen to me very carefully.
You're starting to scare me.
Good. Are you somewhere private, where you can't be heard?
She glanced at the closed door. Yes, but what is this about?
In the smallest room at the back of the house, there's a chest full of weapons. As quietly as you can, I need you to arm up, and then lock yourself in the bedroom and wait. We should be there in a matter of hours.
Goosebumps crawled over her skin. Val? Her voice was trembling as hard as she was. What's going on?
I just spoke with Josh,
he said, the chill in his tone sending her into an emotional tailspin.
And the man you're with isn't him.
24. Wraith turned off the stove burner and searched the cupboards for a bowl. He'd made Serena soup and he wanted to get it down her before she fell asleep. His pocket vibrated and he checked his phone. E.
What? He said as he poured soup into the bowl. You need to come home. Get to the nearest Harrow Gate.
Not happening.
Wraith, listen to me. You're in danger. Bizamoth is going to come after you.
Wraith went taut.
I thought you said the charm can only be transferred through sex. If he thinks he can take it from me that way, well, I don't play for that team. And even if I did, man, you should see him when he morphs.
He doesn't want to have sex with you.
Wraith dug a spoon out of a drawer.
I'm oddly crushed and relieved.
Eidolon's voice sounded frayed with annoyance as usual.
He needs charmed blood. Once he figures out that Serena is no longer charmed, he'll want yours.
He's not getting that either.
Damn it, Wraith. You need to come to the hospital where he wouldn't dare try to get to you.
Wraith peeked down the hall to make sure Serena was still in her room.
I'm at full strength now, bro. I can take him. He's immortal. He can still be hurt.
It's not worth the risk. We spoke with Reaver. The charm is ineffective against fallen angels. Come to the hospital.
I'm not leaving Serena.
Get your ass in a Harrogate. Now!
You know what?
Wraith dropped the pan onto the stove, splashing soup all over the wall.
Fuck you, E!
We're coming to get you. Wraith took a deep, soothing breath in what was probably his first attempt to be calm. Ever.
Eidolon, this isn't one of my rebellious, death-wish, stubborn-for-no-reason moves. For once in my life, I'm doing something for someone else. I'm going to keep Serena safe, and I'm going to find a cure for her.
Really?
Serena's cold voice came from behind him. He spun to find her standing in the hallway. Fire sparked in her eyes, and she was holding a stang.
What do you plan to do, Josh?
Hey, what are you...
She launched the S-shaped blade at him, and though he was certain she had deadly aim, the weapon veered to the left and took out the bowl of soup.
I knew it wouldn't hit you, seeing how you're charmed and all. But it felt good to throw it.
Whoa, she was lit up.
Wraith threw down the phone and moved toward her.
What's going on, Serena?
She took a few steps back until she was at the bedroom doorway.
Who are you? Who are you really?
Oh, shit. She shook with fury.
And don't you dare tell me your name is Josh.
It's Wraith. I told you my name is Wraith.
Why should I believe that, when everything else you've told me was a lie?
Her voice sounded empty, as though she'd been carved out by pain. Guilt made his chest hurt, because for the first time in his life, he understood how it felt to inflict pain on someone who didn't deserve it.
Not everything has been a lie, he said lamely, because the important things had been.
Uh-huh. Why did you do it? I mean, I can guess. But I want to hear it from your filthy, lying mouth.
I was dying, Serena. I needed the charm to live.
He inched toward her.
It's not as bad as it seems.
It was far worse than what it seemed.
Did you know I would die? Before I told you?
He averted his gaze, but dragged it back to meet hers once more. She deserved that, at least.
Yes. She blanched and stumbled back.
Oh, my God! You disgusting, murdering bastard!
Serena, listen to me.
She slammed the door in his face and locked it. She had to know it wouldn't keep him out, but he gave her credit for trying. He kicked it in.
We aren't through yet.
Tears shimmered in her eyes.
Oh, we're through. We're so through. I want you gone,
she screamed.
Get out! Get out and let me die in peace!
That's not going to happen. I can't leave you unprotected.
Unprotected? Are you kidding me? You killed me!
Agony racked his insides, far worse than anything the poison had done to him.
I didn't mean for it to happen, he said hoarsely. I couldn't carry through with it, not once I got to know you. That's why I was going to get off the train in Cairo.
How noble, she spat. How you must have suffered when I forced myself on you.
That, he said slowly, deliberately, so she would never doubt this, was the best night of my life.
I actually believe that,
she snorted.
It was the best night of your life, because you weren't dying anymore.
He got in her face so fast she blinked as though trying to figure out how he was suddenly inches away.
No, it was because it was the first time I made love to anyone. You can call me a liar for anything else, but do not doubt me on this. And I swear to you that you were the first, and you will be the last.
A cold ache drilled a hollow in his chest. He needed sex or he'd suffer, but he would never make love to a female again. She swallowed hard, but in an instant the fury came back, and she shoved hard at his shoulders. When he didn't budge, she scooted around him and put a good 15 feet between them. It felt more like light years. Sudden evil screamed through the air, increasing the pressure on the house with the violence of a spring storm. The window blew inward, and a swirling black cloud surrounded Serena. It solidified, and Bizamoth, grinning, was holding her, her back to his chest, his hand clamped over her mouth.
"Hello, Josh," the fallen angel said,
clearly aware of the truth. Serena's backstabber at work again. He looked between Serena and Wraith.
"Fucking tell me it isn't true. Tell me this little whore didn't give you her charm."
"I'd tell you that," Wraith growled, "but it would be a lie." Serena made a noise of outrage, and Bizamoth shifted his hand, allowing her to fire off a shot.
"Oh, now you decide to tell the truth?"
Though her verbal slap smarted, he ignored her. If Bizamoth knew how much Serena meant to Wraith, he'd have a damned effective weapon to use against him.
"So, Angel, what gave me away? Someone leak it to you? Or is it the post-coital glow?"
Bizamoth hissed.
"Something like that, you fuck! You aren't cloaked!"
He shoved Serena onto the bed. She bounced awkwardly and rolled into the headboard. Bizamoth drew a sword from his robes, a dull silver blade that glowed azure in a thin line down the length of the metal and at the hilt, where symbols pulsed. He pointed the sharp tip at Serena, but never took his eyes off Wraith.
"No sudden moves, or I run her through. My specialty is destruction, Sem, so I know how to use this."
Man, he was gonna rip this guy's heart out and feed it to him.
"You've really fucked things up."
Bizamoth gestured to Serena with a flick of the blade.
"Fucked her all up, too. Pun intended."
He bared his teeth.
"No matter. I still get what I want. Destruction. Yours, hers, the world as you know it. I think I'll start small and work my way up to mass chaos."
Serena's glare promised pain if she ever got her hands on the fallen angel.
"You aren't going to get away with whatever it is you have planned, you know."
Bizamoth laughed, carelessly lowering his blade.
"This is like a bad movie. The good guys all tied up with no hope of survival, but darn it, they're still plucky." "You'll never get away with this," he mocked.
Wraith charged Bizamoth. The angel spun and tipped up the sword. Serena cried out, and Wraith froze. A 4-inch gash streaked her shoulder, its edges as smooth and clean as a scalpel slash. The sword hadn't touched her, but it had somehow sliced her flesh open and was now aimed at her throat.
"Serena!
It's okay," she said, slapping her hand over the bleeding wound. "I'm okay."
"Such bravery."
Bizamoth rolled his eyes.
"Does it really matter, Serena, given your condition?"
Wraith's gaze cut sharply to the fallen angel.
"Go to hell, you son of a bitch!"
He flexed his hands, dying to get them around Bizamoth's throat.
"Been there, done that, but then so have you."
He made another tiny cut in Serena's arm to get her attention, and she didn't even flinch.
"You're going to pay for choosing him over me."
"There was no choice."
She bared her teeth so viciously, Wraith almost expected to see fangs. Under any other circumstances, that might have been hot.
"Josh might be a lying scumbag, but at least he's human."
Realization dawned. And Bizamoth turned to Wraith. Serena chose that moment to lunge at the fallen angel. Wraith leaped to catch her, but lightning fast, Bizamoth seized her, held her with an arm looped around her neck, her feet dangling off the ground.
"Idiot,"
Bizamoth said into her ear.
"He's a demon, an incubus, a master of seduction. You gave it up for a demon as evil as I am, you stupid human slut!
Liar!
She spat. But when she looked to Wraith for support, her expression fell.
Josh, tell him!
Wraith said nothing. What was there to say? She stopped struggling, just stared at Wraith like she had never seen him before.
Was it worth it, Serena? Was having a demon between your legs worth your life, you foul whore?
Wraith's body jerked with fury. Serena was good and pure and everything Wraith wasn't.
Take your filthy hands off her!
Yes!
She snapped.
Do! I'm going to kill him!
Vizimoth laughed and released her. The moment her feet hit the ground, she launched herself at Wraith. She slapped him so hard his head snapped around. Her fists pounded against his chest. He did nothing. Closing his eyes, he took the strikes, wishing she'd hit harder, draw blood.
You son of a bitch!
She screamed.
You goddamn son of a bitch! I hate you!
Her tears flowed in rivulets down her face. He could smell her fury, her fear, and it sliced at him like no physical weapon ever had. She struck him over and over, each blow growing weaker. As her strength faded away, so did the color in her face. She swayed, blinking unfocused eyes, and then collapsed. He caught her before she hit the floor and swept her into his arms, feeling the fragility in her body, the delicate set of her bones that hadn't been there before. Or maybe he had chosen not to notice. The chicken shit bastard attacked while Wraith's arms were full. Bizamoth hauled the sword around, catching Wraith in the shins. The snap of bone rent the air, and a firestorm of misery swept his entire body. Wraith's feet flew out from under him, but he twisted as he fell, took the brunt of the fall on his shoulder to protect Serena. His legs didn't work, crippling his ability to get back at Bizamoth, and the fallen angel didn't spare Wraith any mercy. His foot came down on the back of Wraith's skull over and over, and as the kicks rained down, he could do little but roll on top of Serena, shielding her. A searing, slicing pain ripped through his back and belly. Once, twice, the wet sound of a blade grating against bone screamed in his ears as, for the third time, a red-hot poker of agony gutted him. Through blurred vision, he looked between his body and Serena's, saw the bloody end of a sword buried in the floor. Oh, oh, gods! He'd been stabbed through the back and impaled, the blade barely missing Serena. Cranking his head around, he saw Bizamoth smile as he crouched to catch a stream of Wraith's blood in a vial he had drawn from his robes.
And the blood of the Charmed One shall open the gates of Abyssos.
No!
Serena's voice was a weak whisper as she struggled to crawl from beneath Wraith.
Now, you little whore, you can watch your demon lover die.
Bizamoth drew one finger across her cheek.
I think after I've taken my place as a god that I'll make you my whore. See, I can keep you alive, and soon enough you will beg for death.
Bizamoth swirled in a dramatic circle, and in a poof of dark smoke he was gone. Wraith groaned and fell onto his side, pain tearing through him as the blade wrenched through his gut.
Josh! Josh!
Not Josh. Wraith.
He spoke through clenched teeth and bubbling blood, struggling for every word, every breath. He was dying. All this shit he'd put her through, taking her virginity and her charm. All for nothing. Lore approached the hospital's ambulance bay doors with trepidation. He'd been researching the hospital, a little Q&A with demons who had been patients, and apparently what Jem had told him was true. The fighting inside the hospital was unusual. Still, he didn't want to take that chance. He might be a killer, but he wasn't stupid, and he valued his own life above all others.
He had also learned that Eidolon and Shade were something called seminous demons, sex demons. Cool. But Lore had no idea what made seminous demons different from other breeds of incubi. Mainly because although Lore was a demon himself, he'd been raised by humans and hadn't actually stepped foot in the demon realm until about 30 years ago.
Still, he had remained on the outskirts of demon and human society, but at least he'd learned to use the Harrogates. Those things were seriously weird. He used them only when he had to, hating the strange twinge he experienced every time he used one, as though each trip through the portals leached away a bit of his humanity. He was an assassin, but he wasn't a monster. Well, he probably was, but if he could just hold on to his human roots, maybe he could deny the truth about himself. Ruthlessly, he growled, dropped his hands, and entered the hospital. He had a job to do, and it was going to get done right now. The hospital was strangely calm and quiet. He saw only Jem sitting at the triage desk. She acknowledged him with a sad smile. "Hey, Jem, you seem a little down."
"It's nothing," she said,
and he wondered if her mood had anything to do with the total tool she called Kynan. He'd have to see if maybe she wanted the tool dead, because Lore would be happy to give her a freebie on that one.
"Can I kill someone for you? Make it better?"
"That's the nicest offer anyone has made in a long time." She smiled, and this one seemed genuine. His heart did a little flip.
"So, what can I help you with?"
"I'm looking for Eidolon and Shade.
They're probably in E's office. If you want to hit them up for a job, now's a good time.
We're seriously hurting for staff. Just head straight down the hall. Can't miss it." A little burst of guilt made him pause. He didn't give a shit about the brothers, but Jem might not be happy when she found out what he had done.
He shook himself out of it, because he had a much more powerful demon to answer to than Jem. She'd get over it. The bastard holding his life in his hands wouldn't.
"Thanks," he said. "I'll catch up with you later." The hall was dark, like everything else, with only caged red bulbs overhead giving off light. He passed cages and drains from which slithering noises drifted up, and dark liquid trickled in a gutter in the floor. This was so fucked up. He found them exactly where Jem said they'd be. The demon Lore assumed was Eidolon was yelling into his phone, calling Wraith's name. As Lore watched from the open doorway, Shade doubled over, his curse barely a whisper.
"E!"
Shade sucked in a breath.
"Wraith's hurt! Oh, fuck, it's bad!"
Now was the time to strike. Lore rushed in as Eidolon came around the desk. He'd forgotten to unsheathe his hand, but it was too late for that. He grabbed Eidolon's right arm just as the other demon lay his hand on Shade. Nothing happened. "What the fuck?" Eidolon wheeled around, and Lore slammed his fist into the male's face. Eidolon stumbled backward, and then Shade's fist was in Lore's jaw. Lore went down in a heap, his killing arm pinned beneath him. He barely had time for a muffled groan when Shade stomped him in the throat with a huge-ass boot. "What the fuck?" Eidolon stood in the center of the office, eyes red, blood dripping down his chin. Shade grunted and put pressure on Lore's neck. Lore would have a footprint embedded in his skin for a week.
"You are so dead, dude."
"How the hell did this just happen?"
"Well, E," Shade drawled, "this fuck walked in and hit you, so I hit him."
"Not that. The Haven spell. It's been repaired." Shade's head whipped around.
"Then how did he attack you?"
He backed away from Lore, who sucked in a few gulps of air. And that was when Lore saw it. Eidolon's arm. The tats.
Oh, holy fuck.
Good question, Lore, came the female voice in the doorway.
Jim. Fab. This just kept getting better and better.
She glared at him. I'm guessing you're the asshole assassin? Way to use me to get inside the hospital. Boys, I say kill him.
Wow, she was bloodthirsty. Lore liked that in a woman.
Gladly, Shade growled. As much as I'd like to make it hurt, it'll have to be quick. We don't have time to play. Wraith needs us.
He came at Lore with murder in his eyes. Lore rolled, whipping off his jacket as he did.
Wait!
He sat up.
My arm!
Eidolon reached for him, but Lore yanked his arm away.
Don't! My touch kills!
Except, apparently not them.
What the hell is going on?
Shade breathed, peeling off his own jacket.
Lore just stared. These guys sported identical markings, though theirs were darker, less diluted.
Show me the top symbol, Eidolon said. And Lore slowly tugged his collar down, exposing the base of his neck and the crooked arrow there.
Hell's rings,
Shade muttered, cocking his head to reveal the same arrow. Only his set just beneath an eye symbol. Eidolon's was positioned beneath a set of scales. Lore blinked.
What does this mean?
Eidolon's expression shuddered.
Unless this is some sort of trick, it means we're brothers. Somehow, we're fucking brothers.
Jem tisked at Lore.
Lucy, you have some splaining to do.
We don't have time, Shade said. We've got to get to Wraith. Jem, get the bracken cuffs. Lore here is going to learn the meaning of brotherly love.
25. So much had happened that Serena wasn't sure what to do, think, or feel. All she knew was that the man she had fallen in love with wasn't a man at all, and that he was now bleeding to death on the floor. She didn't know what to do to help, but she did know that she shouldn't remove the sword that pinned him to the floor like an insect in an entomologist's display case. The sword protruded from his back, its hilt still glowing with a strange azure light that seemed to grow dimmer as Josh, Wraith, whatever his name was, grew weaker. Helpless, all she could do was sit there and try not to throw up.
Serena.
Her name came out in a gurgle of blood, and her gut clenched. She should hate him. She did hate him. But she couldn't stand this. Didn't want to see him suffer. What can I do? She sifted her hand through his thick hair, remembering how it had felt to do that when he'd been coming inside her. Damn him. Your brothers. I can call them, right? Are they really doctors? He didn't answer. Frantic, she felt for a pulse. It bounded weakly against her fingers, but at least he was still alive. She had to find his cell phone. She'd call every number in his address book until she found help. Awkwardly, because her legs had gone numb, she stood, but she hadn't taken a step when she heard a pounding on the front door. A weapon. She needed a weapon. The crack of wood rang out, then a rush of footsteps. Instinctively, she kneeled, crowding protectively close to Josh, but when she saw the two huge men, or demons, she supposed, barreling through the doorway, she nearly scrambled away. Josh had told her he had two brothers, and with the exception of their dark hair, these men resembled him so closely that they had to be related.
Oh, fuck!
The one with the long black hair, wearing head-to-toe black leather, froze, his dark gaze locked on the sword skewering Josh's body. The other one, dressed in scrubs, charged into the room and dropped to his knees at Josh's side.
Bro, it's Eidolon. Just hold on.
He turned to the doorway.
Shade!
The one called Shade shook himself out of it, strode into the room, and dropped the medic bag he was carrying.
We need to get him to the hospital.
He won't make it.
We have to try.
And what do you suggest? Carrying him through the streets of Alexandria with a sword sticking out of him? A taxi?
transporting him could kill him.
Palming the back of Josh's neck, Shade spewed out guttural, coarse words in a language she didn't know but understood nonetheless.
Let me check the internal damage.
Serena held still, hoping they had forgotten she was there. Shade closed his eyes and concentrated. The tattoos on his hand, identical to Josh's, began to glow.
Shit, Shade whispered. Kidney, liver, stomach. Oh, man, he's fucked up. The blade severed his aorta. We move it, he bleeds out in seconds.
Eidolon swung his fierce gaze, glinting with flares of gold and red, around to her.
What happened?
He's a demon.
Jeez,
that was a stupid thing to say, given his brothers were too, but her mind seemed mired in fog. So much had happened in the last 15 minutes, too much to process.
Yes, we know that.
His voice was no nonsense, professional, scary.
How did he get impaled?
Right. Bizamoth, fallen angel. He wanted Josh's blood.
Wraith,
Shade growled.
His name is Wraith.
Wraith moaned, his eyes fluttering open.
Help!
We're here, Eidolon murmured. We'll help you.
No!
Wraith coughed, spraying blood.
Serena! Help her!
She's okay, man. Right now, we need to take care of you.
Promise me.
Shade's raw curses blistered the air, this time in plain English.
Promise!
Yeah, yeah, Shade muttered. Just relax. I need you to relax.
Eidolon and Shade exchanged glances.
I have to remove the blade,
Eidolon said.
He'll bleed out.
I know. We need to get blood into him.
I'll start a central line.
Shade dug through the medical bag he had brought with him and quickly inserted a catheter into Josh's neck. Eidolon hung up a bag of blood from the door handle, and Shade connected it via a long tube to the catheter. When he had finished, he set up another bag of blood, connected a tube to it, and held it out to Serena.
I need you to feed this to him.
She recoiled.
What? Just hold the tube to his mouth. He needs to drink.
Oh, God, this was such a nightmare. I don't understand. She still hadn't moved, and her reluctance earned a glare from both of the demons.
He's a vampire, Shade snapped. We need to get blood into him however we can. Now, do it, or he dies.
Vampire? But he had warned her about them, and he was warm, had a heartbeat, walked in the sun. He couldn't be a vampire.
You a vampire?
Yep.
Okay, so he had admitted to it, but... She shook her head. This was crazy. Shade cursed.
Never mind.
He propped the bag of blood against Josh's shoulder and inserted the tube into his mouth, but it kept falling out. The bag fell over. I'll do it, she said finally, and held the tube between Josh's pallid, dry lips. He didn't suck. Didn't move.
Squeeze the bag.
Shade's deep voice was rough, his tattoo glowing. She did as he said, and blood flooded the tube. She watched with morbid curiosity as it flowed into Josh's mouth and dripped out the other side. He wasn't swallowing.
Damn it,
Eidolon breathed.
Come on, Wraith, fight. Damn you, I don't want to lose you now.
Serena's eyes stung. She might hate Josh. She just couldn't think of him as Wraith, for what he had done. But he had asked his brothers to help her when he was facing more immediate danger, and she didn't want to watch him die. Some twisted part of her still loved him. Leaning close, she brushed her lips over his cheek. Please, she whispered, drink. She stroked his lips, squeezing a little more blood between them. His mouth opened ever so slightly, just enough to encourage her. That's it. Take some. His brothers worked frantically, barking out status reports and commands to each other, and the squishy noises of surgical gloves working in blood and flesh made it all so horrific. Eidolon had somehow closed up one of the stab wounds, but now he was using a scalpel to open up the other one even more.
Manage his pain, Shade.
Eidolon put down the scalpel.
This is going to hurt.
Shade's tattoo glowed even brighter as Eidolon pushed his hand inside the opening he had made. Stomach rolling, Serena turned away. Still, the wet sounds kept her imagination working overtime. Their hushed medical speak sounded so bad, so discouraging, almost as if they had already resigned themselves to the fact that Josh wasn't going to come out of this. He still hadn't drank. Swallow, Josh, come on. Gently, she stuck her finger in his mouth, unsure what she was doing, but needing to do something. He was a vampire, right? So he should have fangs. She found a sharp point, remembering how they had felt in her dreams. Had she had the dreams because she had subconsciously known what he was? It was a question for later. Right now, she needed to get him to drink, and she knew those fangs were the key. In her dreams, they were huge, much larger than what they felt like now. Carefully, she rubbed the tip of her finger along the length of one, from the tip to the gum, and... was it lengthening? Josh moaned and opened his mouth. Yes, his canines were definitely descending, growing into monstrous daggers. God, how could she be feeling so many things at once? Hatred, confusion, fear, and at the same time be a little turned on by this? That's it, she murmured as she squeezed some blood onto his tongue. Swallow. I need you to swallow, okay? The blood dribbled out of the corner of his mouth. Damn it. Sliding her finger down his tooth, she caressed the razor point and applied pressure. She tensed, felt the prick of his fang and the welling of blood on her fingertip. Take it, she whispered, letting a drop fall to his tongue. He jerked, like he'd received an electric shock, and then, to her relief, he closed his mouth, drawing her finger inside. She remained still, and when he began to suckle, the world drifted away in a swirl of pleasure. One of the brothers swore softly and said her name, but no one interfered. Somehow she kept the presence of mind to squeeze more blood out of the bag and into his mouth. In a matter of seconds he was sucking greedily, and she swore the heavy shroud of despair that had settled in the room lifted. She fed Josh until the first bag of blood was gone, and then Shade showed her how to hook up another bag to the tube. She lost track of how much he drank, lost track of time. All she knew was that at some point she fell over, and when she opened her eyes, dark spots swam in her vision. Eidolon was peering down at her, his expression a mask of concern. Josh, she whispered, is he? Will he?
He's going to be fine. I've put him to sleep to finish healing. Now it's your turn. He didn't take much blood from you, but there's your other issue.
She struggled to sit up, realized someone had put her on the bed. I'm fine. She shoved him away.
I'm a doctor. I know you're not fine.
His voice was firm but soothing, and she let him push her back on the bed.
I also know a lot has happened in the last few days, and I know you've been hurt. Wraith will never forgive himself for what he's done.
Good, she muttered.
You saved his life, and you knew you were sacrificing your own life to do it. We owe you. I'm going to do what I can for you, okay?
She shook her head. I was bitten by a Mara that's now dead. My disease is terminal.
Yes.
So blunt, so like the doctors she had remembered from years ago. She studied Eidolon's scrubs, the strange medical symbol, a bat-winged dagger encircled by two serpents he wore on a chain around his neck. You do have some sort of New Age medical center, right? You said you'll do what you can?
I can make you comfortable, and I can give you a little more time. But I'm sorry, Serena. You're going to die.
Wraith was really freaking tired of waking up feeling like he had gone around with King Kong. He'd have thought the charm would have ended that.
Serena. He sat up so fast his head nearly fell off. It took him a second to figure out where he was. In one of the rooms in the Aegis safe house. He swung his bare legs over the side of the cot, only to have hands push him back down. Shade was right there in his face.
Whoa, just relax. You're going to fall on your ass if you don't take it easy.
Serena, he croaked.
Sleeping.
How long?
You've been out a few hours. E and I have been taking turns staying with you. Taylor's here, and Jem, Luke, Kynan, Reaver, our other brother, but he's in chains. He's also a total dick. You'll like him.
Wraith shook his head, but that did little to clear it.
Why? What's going on?
Wait, did he say other brother? Eidolon came in wearing his trademark gloomy expression, which meant bad news. Wraith vaguely remembered him in scrubs earlier, but now he was in tan cargos and a plain black tee, which was as casual as he ever got.
We have a situation.
Serena?
Not with her.
Then I don't care.
Wraith jackknifed upright again.
She's sick. If you can't help her, I need to find someone who can.
It's not going to matter if we don't handle the Bizamoth problem. A low rumbling growl erupted from Wraith before he could stop it.
I'm going to rip his throat out with my teeth.
Good. It needs to happen now. Eidolon ran a hand through his hair, which stuck up in wild tufts as if he'd been doing that all day. He's going to use the amulet he took from Serena and your blood to open up a gate between heaven and Sheol.
Oh, that's bad.
You think?
Shade drawled. Eidolon put his fingers to Wraith's wrist, checking his pulse. Reaver said he'll make his move at dawn.
Where?
Jerusalem, Shade said. The Temple Mount.
Made sense. If Bizamoth was going to pull off something like that, the Temple Mount was the place to do it. Many humans and demons alike believed the Foundation Stone, which was housed at the Temple Mount inside the Dome of the Rock, was where creation had begun, and where Armageddon would kick off. Wraith took his arm back from E.
I'll go after him.
Not alone. E tossed him a pair of jeans. The Aegis is mobilizing. Every cell that can arrive in Jerusalem by dawn will be there, as well as the RXR and every sister paranormal military unit in the world.
Wraith came to his feet and pulled on the pants. Sounds like you don't need me.
Bizamoth can't be defeated without you. Taylor stood in the doorway dressed for battle in leather, a dark red color that many demon species couldn't see, and hair pulled into a ponytail.
Underground rumblings indicate that he's mobilized his own army. The Aegis might not be able to get through his horde to get to him.
But I'm charmed, and they can't touch me. Not unless the army was made up of fallen angels.
Exactly. Kynan and I have been coordinating our attack plan with that of the Aegis and military units. We need you to at least keep him from performing the ritual until we can get to him.
And what are you going to do when you get there?
Newsflash, Slayer, he's immortal.
We're going to do the same thing you are. Hurt him, keep him from performing the ritual, and take the amulet back. According to Reaver, he's got only a few minutes to open the gate.
She grinned.
Besides, the Aegis does have a few tricks up its sleeve, so keep him busy until we get there.
You won't need to get to him, Wraith swore. Because I'm taking his fucking head off. Even immortals have issues with decapitation.
He swung around to E.
Now, tell me about Serena.
Wraith?
Now!
E and Shade exchanged glances, and Wraith braced himself for the worst.
You know she's dying.
Yeah?
Fix it.
Shade moved toward him, but Wraith backed up, unable to bear any touch but Serena's right now.
and he knew damn good and well she wouldn't be touching him. She hated him. She had to. How is she?
Eidolon gave a dismal shake of the head.
Her disease is irreversible, and it's progressing fast.
Wraith felt like he'd been stabbed in the gut. Again. I've given her something for the pain, and Shade's been getting inside and forcing her organs to work optimally. But the effects of both are temporary. It's only buying her time and making her more comfortable.
We traded places, Wraith murmured, rubbing his chest where he could already feel the loss. What am I going to do without her?
I'm sorry, bro, Shade said. But Wraith held up his hand, not wanting to hear it. Hearing it would make it real.
He brushed past Taela and came to an abrupt halt at the sight of a dark-haired male sitting in the hallway. His arms and legs bound in bracken cuffs, chains used by the Judicia to negate a demon's abilities while in custody. The dude was wearing leather pants and boots, but no shirt. His dermoir appeared to be faded, but it was an exact replica of the markings Wraith and his brothers wore, minus their individual signs. And he had a strange palm-shaped burn scar over his heart. Wraith didn't know what the hell was up, but right now he really didn't care. Serena could have very little time left, and Wraith wasn't going to waste a single minute.